from the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown Cape Girardeau. Surprised I haven't forgotten that, like in all of the shows that we don't do anymore together.
It's been like 2 weeks since we've done one of these.
I got a bad memory. It's Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man here on the Podzilla 1985 Network. We hope you are having a glorious Tuesday evening. If you live in Missouri, you know that yesterday you walked out in shorts. Today you had to bundle up with the coat because we don't know what the hell temperature we want to do. And I love that because that keeps me sick. I've been sick for a month straight now, and I really appreciate that, God.
Anthony. I can't
God. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be the host for you tonight, Mr. 100. Down at the end of the table is my co-host and good friend, Asa Gray, the Five-Star Man.
Yes.
And the living fidget spinner, Ali Gaibert.
Why am I the living fidget spinner?
Fidgety is what you are. Fidgety. You spin my head right round, baby. Right round. Like a record, baby. You like Kesha, right?
Yeah.
Do you know I think it was the first song she was ever on that I know of, and I think it was what kind of gave her mainstream exposure, was the remake.
The remake for that song?
The You Spin Me Right Round by, was it Flo Rida? I think it was.
He sampled it.
Yeah, it was the You Spin Me Right Round. Yeah. Except the lyrics are, You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right Round, When You Go Down, When You Go Down.
Yeah.
And they played that on the radio.
Uh-huh. They did.
They're talking about oral sex on that.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, tonight, we kind of had the idea. Asa asked me if Ali and I had seen The Punisher, and we have. So,
well, I know, because we talked about it a little bit on Sunday on Nerd Up.
Gotcha.
Because Lindsay said she had watched it. Yes. I didn't know if, like, you had also,
all
like,
three of us. Yeah, we all sat down together and watched it.
Because I haven't been able to really talk about it with people yet, because, like, Jesse's in the process of watching it. Dalton will see it sometime in 2024.
Yeah, he's a real disappointment. I asked Dalton if he wanted to be on the show tonight because I thought, oh, this is right up your alley. We're talking about like DC and Marvel and stuff, and he was like, yeah, but I haven't seen any of the Netflix shows. And that's part of what we're talking about tonight. Not just The Punisher. We're also going to talk about the small screen versus big screen. What do you like better? What do we think of the movies and the shows? It's kind of an all-around extravaganza. My condition has left me wanting to talk about this. So we're going to do that tonight. But before we do, Asa, you pointed out something this morning, on one of our favorite sites that you and I both like, on Cracked. I did not know this.
Yeah.
And you wanted to talk about this.
Yeah, it's just like, it kind of came out of nowhere, yesterday and, well, I guess last night and yesterday, by the time this is happening, but it's all of a sudden, just like on Twitter, I saw Daniel O'Brien say, "Whoa, I no longer worked at Cracked." I'm like, wait, what? That can't be right.
You,
like,
wonder what the joke was,
right? It was like, okay, that's a weird one, Daniel, but all right. And then a bunch of other people were like retweeting, and he starts like retweeting other people like saying goodbye, and I just like, I don't know what's going on, but apparently crack.com has just like laid off or fired a substantial portion of their staff. And not only that, but like Daniel O'Brien was the senior video editor. He was, you know, He was a
top tier talent.
Yeah, he was a top tier. He was one of the people that initially like brought me into the website. It was him, Sean Baby, Soren Bowie, and David Wong. Like those were the four names that I could really like. Anytime I saw them pop up on the front, on the like front page of Cracked,
yeah,
I knew I was about to laugh.
Right.
And then they all kind of slowly stopped writing as many actual articles. Like Sean Baby went down to like one a year. I don't even know if he still contributes at all to the website.
Mm.
But Daniel and Soren all kind of moved to the video side, with Daniel doing Obsessive Pop Culture Disorder, After Hours, which is one of my favorite web series.
Yeah, it's
ever
one of the classics.
With Soren and Michael Swaim, who also apparently Michael Swaim quit. He didn't get fired
in the same time period though.
He quit in October.
Okay.
So like it was relatively recently, but it was before all the layoffs hit. And then Katie was the fourth in that.
Right.
Well. So then they introduced, like, I haven't seen a lot of it, but they have, like, a new kind of, like, cast for After Hours that was an offshoot as well as the original four. And it's just like, wow, they're like, these are, you know, mainstays, like, franchise players, you know, as well as a bunch of other people, like Cody Johnston, and, like, a bunch of people got let go from Cracked, and they were all recognizable names, like, these personalities that people follow. And it seems like it's a budget cut because, oh, why would we pay these established people to work full-time and write full-time when we can just pay freelancers?
Yeah.
Because they're constantly accepting fan submissions, and they do the photoplasty stuff and
right.
Everything like that. But it's like, man, there's a lot of people who are, I think, I'm concerned that Cracked is maybe underestimating the loyalty a lot of fans have to these, like, names. Especially when you see, like, if you follow Daniel O'Brien on Twitter and you see all of the work and, like, the passion he puts into this, into these products and into these videos, it's just kind of like, yeah, that makes me love him even more.
My first thought when I heard about this, and I was talking to Hunter about it, I didn't mean it as an insult, but my first thought was literally like, I didn't know they got paid for it.
Yeah.
Like my first thought, I always thought they were like Podzilla, where it's like, oh, it's a passion project. It's a fan project. Maybe they do, Patreon or whatever. But yeah, I mean, this is a full business and it definitely sounds like budget cuts, which always sucks. Mm-hmm. But you never really get rid of your top tier talent. I mean, you have to be suffering bad for money if you're getting rid of the guys that make you the money.
And David Wong is still there. So he's like, I don't know. I don't think he's like the head honcho, but he's pretty high up and he is still there. And he's like, no, you know, Cracked isn't closing. This is just kind of a direction we're moving. And yeah, it really sucks that all of our friends are leaving. And everybody, like, no one that I've seen has gone out to like and actively bashed the website.
They didn't do anything like they did with Gazillion when they closed Marvel Heroes suddenly without paid time off, without severance packages right the day before Thanksgiving.
That we don't know yet. I'm assuming not, because like no one has mentioned that, and I feel like that would be something that would come up.
Yeah.
But I mean, everyone's just like, no, I very much appreciate that Cracked had given me a platform. Now I have this audience. And, you know, Cody and Daniel have already been like, we're writing together. We're doing something together. You know, keep an eye out. But stuff is coming. And every time, like, he's just constantly retweeting, like, people are concerned, though. They're like, well, this sucks. I lost my job. And he's like, hey, like, come, like, oh, you want to write with us? Come write with us. Like, they don't have a platform. They don't have, you know, a plan yet. But Cody Johnson's like, so who wants to explain Patreon to me?
Jesse had to explain it to me, and it took a couple times. Wait, so people will just give me money for talking? I think it was Cody Sandusky in the group chat that said that, you know, freelance work can be profitable, and it can be. Like, freelance work is pretty nice.
So do you think, because a lot of the people who like just got fired started as freelance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of people who were just regular contributors. Like, they would write these pieces, they would go through these workshops, and their work got submitted, and eventually Cracked just hired them because, oh, you're pumping out quality content and we can help you grow and, you know, help us grow at the same time. So if you're a freelancer and you start kind of getting some momentum at Cracked, do you not get a little nervous at this point?
Well, I meant more so the people that were working that are now freelance. Like, they have, like you said, they have an audience now. So they could do whatever they could create their own thing. It's like the guys from What Culture.
Yeah.
You know, they can create their own thing and you already have an established audience. Cause that's the hardest thing to do as a person that wants to create a new entity.
Mm-hmm.
Look at us here. Like, it took us a year before we saw real traction on Podzilla.
Right.
But these guys, now that they have the audience, they have a better shot at it. Now the guys that are going into Cracked working freelance, yeah, there's cause for concern there. It's that thing of like, okay, so if I do well and you bring me on full time, are you just going to fire me like you did them?
Mm-hmm.
There's that fear that's always going to be in the back of your head.
And it's the same thing with like Gazillion. Cause like we talked about, like, well, if Marvel does end up, or if Disney does end up buying Fox, and, oh, we have the rights to the X-Men again, and maybe, you know, we can revisit this, you know, Marvel Heroes thing. Do you go back?
As a player, no.
No, not as a player. I mean, a developer.
As a player, no. So I can't imagine the developers. Because I doubt they'd hire back the same guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the new guys, it's like, oh my God, the way that they shut them down.
Without the PTO, without all of that.
Without severance packages, the day before Thanksgiving, like with no warning.
Yeah.
That was so shady. That's one of the shadiest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's super shady.
And like, it's not like MMOs close all the time. It happens. You know, some of my favorite MMOs are dead now. Warhammer, Age of Reckoning, City of Heroes, like some of my favorites are gone, but they all had a time period where they said, okay, here is where development stops. Here's how long the servers are going to be open. We're going to keep these guys employed until this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going and they do it the right way. The way Gazillion did it, it was almost like a fly by night operation where they just one day just
SEAL Team 6 came in.
Yeah.
Like with the mouse ears and
just took them out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know,
hey,
man.
You're on an unpaid furlough, but this is probably not the end. Oh, hey, don't check your email.
Why did I answer my phone?
Yeah.
It's terrible. I hate to hear stuff like this, but I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see what happens with Cracked and if anything else comes out about it.
I feel like Cracked is going to be Cracked. Like, they didn't acknowledge it, like, on their website. I went to look and see if maybe a statement was made. David Wong made a blog post, and that's about all I've seen. As him just like, no, guys, Cracked is still a thing. Don't worry. Like, yeah, we're bummed about all these people having to go, but
I mean,
we're still doing a thing.
That may be for the best, because Gazillion, when they closed Marvel Heroes, did make a statement. And then their statement was a complete lie.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll be open until December 31st. Everything will be free. We love you guys.
To be fair, they did. Everything was free.
True, for 3 days.
For about 3 days.
From what I understand, one of the developers, I know this isn't a Marvel Heroes thing. I know you guys talked about it, and we talked about it last week. But from what I understand, I don't know if you guys mentioned this, the last day they were in operation was literally because the last person working got off work, and that was it. They just left the power on that night.
Because it was supposed to close on like Friday.
Yeah,
but then it went until like Saturday or something.
Yeah, they just left until they shut it off. Mm-hmm. Like the power, the servers stayed up. The servers went down randomly whenever the power got shut off. The guy posted literally like, "Yeah, the last employee just left. Enjoy the game for however long it stays up." They just left it there, left it open and going, and just good luck.
Yeah,
that's terrible.
I
can't trust them anymore.
That article you put in the group chat, the Kotaku one, where they kind of were talking.
They were talking about the last days. Yeah.
The guy that they started that article with, they even mentioned it. He did a podcast with Kinda Funny and told his story. He's like, it really sucked because our fan base, like in the subreddit and the like super hardcore fans are used to us communicating every single week.
Yeah.
Weekly updates. This is what we're working on. This is what's about to drop.
One of my favorite things about them.
And then like for a month, nothing.
Yeah.
And it was all like, we knew something was wrong, but we can't say anything. People are asking us. People are getting angry with us, and that's fine. Like we understood, like we wanted to communicate with them so bad.
Yeah.
But we couldn't.
For that game, they pushed out updates every month and a new character every month. They pushed out the console version and made a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. And then for like 2 months, nothing. And I checked their website every day to see, okay, who's the next hero coming out? Nothing.
So I don't know if I should tell you this or not, because they talked about it.
Please do. It's a Jubilee.
No, it's not Jubilee. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's nothing like that super ground shattering, and I'm not super familiar with the game, so, sure. But it sounded super neat. The character that was, pretty much, they just needed to flip the switch, is what he said. It was a new Thor, and it was Thor Ragnarok Thor.
Oh, the new costumes and stuff?
Well, it was a costume, but it entirely, he had two lightning powers. Everything else was based around, he had these six different weapons. So maybe he had a two-handed sword, maybe he had a mace and a shield, maybe he had a hammer. Every single weapon set had its own set of abilities. And you could rotate through those.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the content they put out was really good. And the fact that, like, the thing that gets me, and I held on for as long as I could, they swore, we're going to put Jubilee in the game. Mm-hmm. And then they did. They put her in as a assist character who would follow you around and help you. That was fine by me, because then I could be Cyclops, and I'm running around, and I'm 90 Cyclops, by the way, and I'm running around with Jubilee. And then they said, next year, we're going to put Jubilee in the game. She'll start as an assist character, and then she'll be playable. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, they'll have different builds. You could be Sparkler Jubilee. You could be Vampire Jubilee. And I'm like, that sounds so cool. Of course the game died.
Yeah.
It was because of Jubilee. There was enough backlash that the fans demanded it. Hey, you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of comics and then also the thing we were going to talk about. We all finished The Punisher. If you haven't seen The Punisher, stop listening.
Yeah, we're going to go real spoiler heavy. Yeah.
Spoiler heavy. And let's start the spoilers off by talking about who died the worst in the show.
That is an easy, easy, easy answer.
All right, before you... Last warning.
Oh, yeah, if you are still listening to this...
Go listen to Nerd Up.
Yeah.
Or go listen to our extraterrestrial episode last week, Allie. I really like that one. So go listen to that. If you're still here by now, you've taken the risk. Asa, who died the worst?
William Robertson or whatever his name was. The Agent Orange.
Rollins.
Rollins. I couldn't think of his name. My brain turned off. Yeah.
I agree with you.
Because that was one. I messaged Hunter that night. Like, he was well asleep. I didn't see it until the next morning. But like, I sent him a message after I had seen it, and I was just like, I'm going to try to get through this without swearing. And I failed miserably. Like, it was just like, when he put, oh, just.
Yeah, he did that one thing. Punisher did that one thing to him that always makes me cringe.
The Punisher as a whole, like, so I talked about it a little bit on Sunday, and I'm sorry for kind of rehashing stuff that we'd previously talked about, but I wanted to
talk
to you guys about it.
Please.
It started, like, episode one was just like, I knew going in from what we've seen of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 seasons worth of Netflix shows. They don't shy away from violence and like really kind of Yeah, the dude impaling himself in Daredevil.
Yeah,
and, like,
that was pretty rough.
Fisk, like, smashing
the guy's
dude
head
in the car door.
Goo? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, like, stuff gets gross. And now they're doing a Punisher one. This is going to be kind of rough, I'm sure. And that opening scene where he's just swinging the sledgehammer. Just like, oh, well, someone's going to have a real rough day. I was wholly unprepared. And keep in mind, we're, what, 12 episodes in?
Yeah.
At this point? I was wholly unprepared to see what the thumbs
yep.
in the eye.
That's the thing.
And the, like, it.
Because, like, all right, so he didn't just thumb him in the eye. First, he.
No, this wasn't a pro wrestling, like.
Yeah, no. First, he punched him to half death.
Yes.
Then he stabbed him repeatedly. Then he slit his throat. Then, and I thought, okay, well, he must be dead by now. But when he puts his thumbs in his eyes, you see him squirming
and
moving.
And the gargling.
Which means he's feeling every inch of it. And I thought, but he fucking deserved it.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I don't mean to curse on this show.
Absolutely. Like
that's what I love about the and I looked at Allie and I was thinking, like, yeah, Batman would have sent him to Arkham. Like, you know, the Punisher. We said it's hard to do a Punisher show because he doesn't have villains that stay alive.
Right.
So you create new villains for him. And mm-hmm. they did a good job with Agent Orange. Like, I wanted to see him get his.
They were also building one throughout this season.
And that's what I meant. Like, who got it worse, Rollins or Billy Russo?
But Russo lived. That's the thing.
Yeah, you
but
said
did
who
he?
Got oh, yeah. But did he? His life is over.
The moment that – and this is going to be – I know we said we'd talk about the expanded universe. It's probably going to be very Punisher heavy at first because I love the Punisher.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites.
No, yeah, and so – and I was – and that's why I wanted, like, to get your thoughts on the show as a whole, because this is – I don't know nearly as much about the Punisher as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've read more. You've – like, you were more –
I study him.
Yeah, you're a,
he's a case study.
You're a much bigger fan of his.
Yeah.
This is hands down my favorite version
yeah.
of the Punisher.
Same.
Because the whole I'm used to comics Punisher, who just kills left and right, doesn't matter.
No remorse.
He's doing it yeah. because he has a job to do and that's it. That's
yeah.
the end of his motivation. They did such a good job, and John Bernthal did such a good job of, like,
humanizing him
and making him yeah. like really see this isn't what I want to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is just what I need to do, and this is what these people deserve.
Yeah.
But the reason that he is my all-time favorite version of the Punisher is the last scene where he's in.
So controversial, that last scene.
Is it really?
Because a lot of people are upset that, and I was upset at first, like, I admit.
He was like, that's how it ended.
Yeah.
He should have been killing people, and I actually liked the last scene too.
Well, I do now. Mm-hmm. Like, it took me a while to process it because I expected, you've seen the Punisher movie, right? With Thomas Jane?
Yeah.
Last scene, him standing on the bridge saying, rapists, murderers, beware, you know, I'm coming, I'm the Punisher.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I expected. I expected him to just go out and
Full vigilante.
But no, the last scene is him sitting down at the circle and talking about how he's scared.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I went,
I'm a soldier without a war.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I don't have a war.
It left me shaken because I thought, well, that's too human.
Yeah.
But then as I went on, I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Because, yeah. And the reason I didn't like it was because I thought, if he had turned vigilante in the end and put the skull on and you saw him go out to a group of criminals and just start shooting him, there's season two set up right there. He's already a vigilante.
But I also feel like there's a season two that...
Oh, Broadway.
Yeah.
Jeez, Broadway.
You're setting up a season two that does not have as much depth as season one had. If you're setting him up as the vigilante, that's just going to kill everyone.
Well, yeah, but I also feel like it's going to be harder for them to find a reason for him to put the skull back on again. Because this was very personal.
I disagree.
Rollins is still technically alive.
Russo. No, Rollins
not
is
Rollins.
Not alive.
Russo is still
Rollins
technically
is
alive.
And that's what it is. Like, Russo has this, like...
The vendetta.
Yeah.
Because they have no idea where he's going to be if he wakes up. They said
so,
that.
So... Going back to the beginning of the series, I thought it started off a little slow.
Yeah. Oh, same. Like, that's because we talked about Punisher 2 weeks in a row on Nerd Up. The first one was, like, first impressions because I was maybe, like, 3 episodes in, and then...
I remember you saying you weren't interested in it as much as you would hope.
I was... It's not that I wasn't interested in it. It's just it never hooked me. It didn't, like... First season of Daredevil.
From the start.
You couldn't have paid me to stop watching.
Yeah, episode one.
Like, it's just every episode ended on some sort, not necessarily even a cliffhanger, but I needed to know what was happening next.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that with Punisher until the bomb went off.
Oh, when Lewis turned.
So, like, episode 8.
Yeah.
I think I got it a little bit before that, though.
I think it was probably episode 5 or 6, but
yeah.
It was a slow burn.
Yeah.
Like, it really, the first episode I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
But then after that, it was like, okay, now we're building it up again, and... I thought to myself, I was disappointed because as the big Punisher fan, I thought this isn't what I expected. But as it went on and it went on, I started to see so many layers added to his character, like the PTSD stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In any other thing I've ever seen, if you do a dream sequence where the guy's like talking to his wife while real life's happening, I would go, that's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
In this, I thought it was effective. Yeah. Like the fact that he wanted to die so badly to be with the ghost of his wife,
mm-hmm.
but he kept going because he
come home.
Yeah.
I am home.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that one actually was like, oh dear. Okay.
That it was, I thought it was remarkable. And the only thing they changed a lot of stuff from the comics.
Right.
Like Billy Russo. The first time I heard the name Billy Russo, I got giddy. I was like, I was telling everybody, I was like, oh, but I didn't want to tell them.
Right.
Because I knew what they didn't know.
Well, see, I knew that. Like, well, okay, actually, I didn't know that was Jigsaw, but I knew just from the way they presented him, like, okay, well, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then it's the first time they mentioned, like, you know, oh, he's always had those stunning good looks. I was like, okay, we're going to file that one away because
they call him the Butte in the comics.
Because you did tell us. You said,
I couldn't hold him
you
in.
Also didn't, we didn't see him. It was like, as soon as it said Billy Russo, you were like, oh, that's supposed to be like,
he becomes Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, his main villain. And then we were watching and I was realizing they're building him so that they can actually have more of a storyline with him than for him to just be killed.
Well,
off
in the comic,
right,
you know,
away.
He's just a criminal.
Right.
He's a criminal that runs afoul
of
Frank Castle.
The Joker.
Yeah. In this, I kind of didn't like it at first that they made him a soldier because I thought, oh, you're changing his origin so much.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized that whole, well, who do you have fight the Punisher? You have someone that's like him.
And
that knows him.
Like him, but at the same time is the opposite of him. Whereas Frank Castle, they both did the same shit.
Yeah.
They both killed the same people and they had each other's backs. Even in the end, even though he was a piece of shit, Billy Russo still had enough respect for Frank Castle that he
wasn't going to let Agent Orange be the one.
Yeah,
to,
he let him go, you mm-hmm. know, and in the end they set up the fight. Like he still had an amount of respect for Frank Castle. But whereas Frank Castle is so haunted by what he did, Billy Russo just saw a profit in it. Like they're right. So opposite of each other. And I really, really like that. But I knew they portrayed him as so good and knowing that he was going to be Jigsaw, I was like, how are they going to make me hate him?
See, and that was the thing is like, I knew, like, there was just something smarmy. Like, there was he played it so perfectly to like, yeah, he seems like he genuinely cares about Frank and he's genuinely wants to help these people. And,
mm-hmm.
but there was something under there was just something underneath where it's like, okay, yeah.
I really hated the character of Madani at first.
I did too.
I thought she was tacked on. They mm-hmm. kept going to her and Sam Stein. And I was like, I just want to see Frank Castle.
Yeah.
And like the whole Kandahar thing and the agent that he killed, like in the beginning, you don't really care. You're just like, I don't care about this. I want to know what the Punisher is doing.
You knew it's an end to the meet. Like it's a means to an end.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, this is going to be a big conflict where now he's running afoul of
the
Homeland
FBI.
Security.
Yeah.
And then, but they did a good enough job of kind of like tweaking it.
They did.
Like,
they set the pieces in motion very well.
I can't say how happy I am that Rafi wasn't evil.
Me
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Like, even the head of the CIA or whoever that...
the woman?
Yeah.
The one that in the end got away, sort of.
Well, where she kind of was just like,
I like her.
She told
the line a little bit before that because she was going to let Rollins...
Go.
Well, clean it up, but then whenever she found out more about it, she was like, but you're not going to have a job.
Yeah,
she was
going
to let him cover it up. And if you don't just cover it up and get out of here, you're going to be ruined.
But I mean, she was kind of right. Like what they kept saying about the CIA, like our national security be ruined, all that. Like it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have to look out for it.
And I loved, and that's, I thought she was a great character because of that.
Yeah.
Like she was presented initially like, yeah, I don't like politics,
mm-hmm.
but you're good at politics. That's why I'm coming to Rollins. And so, and she even asked him, like, are there skeletons in your closet that are going to come back to haunt us? And he just bold-faced lies.
No.
Because
yeah.
of course,
no.
because of course he does. So I very much appreciated the position that she was in, as well as the way they handled her. Cause like,
yeah.
it's so easy to make the government.
The bad guy.
Just the unnamed bad guy. Like,
yeah.
and it goes all the way to the top. But to
right.
see like people of integrity and like actual moral fiber and have to react and be like, okay, yeah, what they're doing is wrong. But we have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
Like, that made it so much more intriguing to me.
That is what's so shockingly good to me about the Netflix Marvel shows is their villains are so, compared to like the Avengers villains, compared to the Justice League villains, they're so quote unquote underpowered and that they're so human,
mm-hmm.
but they're also so much more interesting.
Yeah, I mean.
But they also, you have 13 episodes as opposed to a 2-hour movie to, like, the new Justice League movie. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, if you've seen Justice League 2, you've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Steppenwolf.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved Justice League, by the way. Thought it was a good movie.
I surprisingly loved it.
But Steppenwolf, I thought was a cool villain, but was so underdeveloped compared to Agent Orange or Wilson Fisk.
Apparently there was a scene cut from it where he basically, it lays out that he wants to bring back, he wants to resurrect Mother to give him the power to be able to overthrow Darkseid. It wasn't just, oh, I lost a fight, so I went crazy.
Right.
He needed to redeem himself, and he wanted to take over Apocalypse.
Which I love that they mentioned Darkseid in the movie. I was like,
I would have liked it more if they hadn't, like, given Steppenwolf Darkseid's story, kind of.
Mm.
Like, Darkseid using parademons to invade Earth to try to turn it into another bastion of Apocalypse is kind of Darkseid's thing.
No, Steppenwolf was it, the guy in the movie that did that.
Mm. Was it?
How about the end scene with the after credit scene with Deathstroke?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Joe Manganiello or whatever his name is.
Also, Lex Luthor, I didn't hate. Anyway, we're not talking about that. Yeah. We're talking about Punisher. One thing that bothered me about this show.
Just real quick about
yeah!
talking about the villains. Yeah! Talking about the villains, because I wanted to say this. This is an example of a mirror match done correctly.
Yeah.
Because I've talked about it before. My biggest gripe with these Marvel movies is every single, like, origin story, we just get who's the villain?
He's like him.
The hero, he does the same thing the hero does, but bad.
Examples.
Exactly.
Who do we put up against the Hulk? Abomination.
Doctor Strange and Mads Mikkelsen, whatever his, I loved that movie.
I don't remember the bad guy.
I don't remember his name at all. I remember Dormammu in the time loop, and that was cool.
Captain America Winter Soldier.
Exactly.
You know?
Iron Man, Ironmonger.
Yeah, although, God.
Black Panther. We're getting Black Panther and Black Panther villain. Ant-Man and Yellow Jacket.
Like, I think I've said this on the show. I just want to take a second to again express my appreciation for Jeff Bridges as Obadiah Stane.
Mm-hmm.
I love that so
much. And now
so
Triple
much.
H just looks like him?
Yes. Oh. Well. That's going in my memory bank.
So while you're handling that, this was an example of it done well. Because it is like, okay, Frank Castle, elite, you know, military trained Marine, like super soldier. Not super soldier, but very skilled, you know, marksman, highly trained in
Batman.
Hand-to-hand
combat. No one's better than Frank.
He's
basically Batman.
Except for, oh, well, and then we also have Billy Russo, who's like the same. But this is an example of one where, like, yeah, you kind of need him to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you do have Rollins, who is the just smarmy behind the scenes. He just sends wave after wave of
disposable
man. But, yeah, for that last climactic fight, you do need that to kind of be a...
And, you know, not only them, the other soldiers that were also in his platoon or whatever,
mm-hmm.
The guy in the woods, I don't
with
remember
the bow and arrow, yeah.
Henderson,
Gunner?
I think, something like that.
Gunner.
Yeah, Gunner himself was a badass.
Yeah.
The only reason
yeah.
they got him was because there were so many and they sneak attacked.
Yep.
Curtis was a badass.
Yeah.
But he was kind of more of a laid back. Curtis was a great.
How many times I
thought Curtis was going to die.
You're like, this is it. He's going to die and we're going to hate
Lewis
it.
If Lewis kills Curtis, I'm going to kill him.
I did what, so Dalton told me when he watched American Vandal, he, on the last episode, looked up the ending because he was scared something was going to happen that he was so like, he couldn't just be blindsided by it.
Yeah.
I did the same thing, but because of Micro. I was convinced that like, Lieberman or his wife or the kids, like
something
awful was going to happen like any second. I was worried about that.
That
last episode and like, oh, look, unnamed guard next to the door.
I actually said during the last episode,
they keep going back to this family too much.
I think after when they had sex for the first time, like, well, not the first time because they have two kids, but like when they actually like reunite,
when they consummated their relationship again. Well,
after that, I was like, oh God, I literally pulled up an episode recap and I locked in Lieberman and kept, so I didn't really spoil the episode for myself.
Just what happened to them.
But that was like something I had to look up because I was not going to be able to emotionally handle if another awful, cause when they did the bullshit, like take him out. At the exchange?
I kind of knew. Like, I had a feeling. I hoped. I was like, he's not dead.
I don't...
Because Madani wouldn't have just been standing there while she was holding her child thinking he's dead. I think she would have gotten them out of there, like, really quick.
Yeah, and they didn't focus on it enough.
Yeah.
See, and,
you know?
But with Frank being taken and everything else, like, I hoped, like, I was hoping real hard, like, no. Okay, no, this I, isn't. They also, couldn't have just done. They can't. She can't have seen her husband die
twice.
Yeah, that's.
When we first started watching it, and I knew Micro was going to be in it, mm-hmm. And I again because I know the comics. In the comics, eventually Frank kills Micro because they come to odds with each other. Micro thinks that Frank lost sight of their mission and is just a murderer now, mm-hmm. and eventually Micro turns and Frank has to kill him. And I thought there's no way they're going to rush that in the first season. Mm-hmm. But I also know apparently how much the creators hate Microchip now. And that's the reason he wasn't in the first movie with Thomas Jane, because they hate the character so much. So I thought
Like the people who created Punisher?
Like the people like behind the Punisher movie, at least. And I don't know about this show, but there is a hatred for the character. Like
really?
Robin.
Why?
The same reason they didn't put Robin in the Batman movies, because they didn't want to go there with it. Huh. So I thought there is a chance, especially when I saw how Frank and Micro acted with each other in the beginning, that they might pull some bullshit and Micro would sell out Frank and Frank would kill him, because Frank very clearly kills people that cross him.
Right.
Yeah.
And when he went to Madani without Frank knowing it, I went, no, please don't do this. Please don't have Frank kill Micro. Mm-hmm. I was so glad when he didn't, because I thought, so the Micro from the second movie was played by Wayne Knight, who looked exactly like Micro from the comics, kind of a fat hacker type.
Newman.
But this one was so much better. Like
I loved Lieberman.
He was neurotic. He was great.
He kind of went a little nuts, like having lived in solitude for
a
year.
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of expected.
Yeah.
Creepy
though.
I dug him a lot. I liked him. I ended up liking him a lot more than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm. I was legitimately sad when Sam Stein died.
I was too.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I would, because I really did not care about those characters in the beginning. And I knew as soon as Billy was the one up there on the roof with him alone, I was like, well, so long, Sam.
Sam is, I don't know why, like that kind of quirky underdog, like sidekick, that's a character trope that I like. Like, and he was, you know, he was kind of sarcastic and, boy, why would I like a character like the sarcastic sidekick? Why would I ever endear
like a character
why
that
would
live,
a character
though.
Like that ever endear myself to me?
I thought he would make it.
I did too. And so when that happened, and just like in the scene after with Russo like washing Madani.
Yeah.
So creepy.
Oh, I was so mad. I was legitimately just like, this mother.
Yeah.
Like,
and how dare you stand where he stood?
The moment that he did that, because that was really the turning point for Russo. Like, you found out he was with Agent Orange, but killing Sam Stein to me was the point of no return.
Yeah.
And it was at that point I went, I can't wait to see how they turn him into Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Because did you ever see Punisher Warzone?
Yes. It's been a long time though.
Because Jigsaw was in that too. Mm-hmm. And he like falls into a glass machine thing and Frank turns the machine on and it swirls around and the glass cuts his face all up. And it was really good. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how are they going to top that? And not, because that was so over the top comic booky. They did it in this one by scraping his face
so
along broken glass
and bashing his face. No,
kicking his face into it.
Like curb stomping. Yeah. Like that. It was a mirror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the mirror on that merry-go-round, which that was. Part of me was like, okay, so like, are these kids about to die? Because they have blood on them, and he said they're bleeding out. But
it was
like,
a setup.
Was it? So yeah. he lied about that.
He lied. Like, and that's again, even though I hated Billy Russo, he still had that when he dropped the phone to Curtis and he said, "My word still means something too."
Yeah,
like you could kind of tell, like he's a bad guy, but he's not an awful guy.
Yeah. Like he isn't like an over the top like twirling the mustache villain.
He's
like,
he's the opposite of Frank. He also does what he has to
do. He has his own code of ethics.
Right.
Which is part of the reason why I liked him so much, because that scene where he did, you know, like my words still mean something. Like he could have killed Curtis. Mm-hmm. I'm genuinely surprised he didn't kill Curtis. But
yeah. But that was also this season. I have a feeling that you might see that a little bit if he is
in
the second
Jigsaw.
Season.
Well, they flat out said if he wakes up, mm-hmm. we have no idea what his brain
will
be.
If he'll remember anything.
Because right.
I feel like we've seen the last of Billy Russo.
It's full Jigsaw.
It's going to be just Jigsaw.
And this, unlike the movie where he just got his face cut up, but he was still a blue, in the movie I think he was Billy Rossetti, but he was still him. He just had a jacked up face, and now, it's the Joker syndrome.
Right.
Oh, well, I look weird, so now I'm the Joker. Well, I look weird, now I'm Jigsaw. But in this one, he has actual brain damage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would believe his transformation from Billy Russo to Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, absolutely. He is effed up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that brings up something I wanted to talk about, like, actually that I had a problem with on the show. You talk about the violence and how they don't shy away from the violence. They don't. It's brutal. And in that same sense, it made me so frustrated that they shied away from everything else. The cursing. Like, I don't care if there's F-words dropped everywhere. Mm-hmm. No F-words in the show, though. For a show that's that violent, they never said the F-word because they couldn't push it that far, I guess. They had sex in the show, but there was no nudity. It was just close enough where you didn't see anything.
There wasn't like full nipple or like you didn't see like.
That's what I mean. It was TV broadcast nudity.
But it was all, I feel like it was farther than broadcast. But like some of that stuff was pretty.
In all honesty, I don't think it was needed.
No, it's not needed. But at the same time, it's just, if you have a show that you're, I understand like with Daredevil and Iron Fist and Luke Cage and stuff like that, you don't want it to go full M rating because that's not those characters. But The Punisher is very much a Marvel Knights show. It's very much a hardcore, you know who Frank Castle is. You know what The Punisher is about. It is blood and gore. I feel like could they have enhanced it maybe with, like, at some point, someone's going to say F.
Right.
Someone's going to say the F word at some point.
And I see what you're saying. I think
it didn't bother me enough, but I did want to bring it up. If you're going to go that far with violence, why shy away from the rest?
Honestly, until you said it, I didn't even notice it.
I didn't notice it either.
Because they get close. They say shit. They say goddamn. Like, they get close with everything else.
Because I feel like the time that they would say that would be like when the Punisher
is killing
people. But the thing is, he just screams. Well, and I feel like that's more effective than him yelling the F word.
Well, I feel like the Punisher at some point would have said F you Rollins, F you Billy Root. Like someone would have said F you. Lewis, the little piece of shit. He would have said something like that. And what a piece of garbage he was.
Especially to the dude, the old guy that lied about being in Vietnam.
Yeah. It turns out that his story arc, I was tired of it, but I was also a little dissatisfied with the way it ended, that he blew himself up. I get the point. He was a coward. Mm-hmm. He took the coward's way out. He really wanted to see Frank Castle break every bone in his body.
Yeah, that would have been nice because, that was something that I was like, okay, this is going to be – clearly they're setting this up for something. That was my least favorite part of the show until it finally happened.
Until the bombs.
Until he finally attacked the old dude and, like, the bombs happened and stuff. Yeah, and it's like, okay, now that we've gotten there – and maybe it made it worth it because overall I loved it. Like, this is one of my favorite things Netflix has done.
It's like, I've been going back and forth on this because Daredevil season one was my favorite.
The more I think about it, the more I think I really, really liked it. So I don't know. It's weird.
When you get a random text from a number you don't have and it just says, I need Xbox One X.
Okay.
And now he's sending me a picture.
It's Hunter.
I have Hunter's number. That might be Sarah.
For some reason, whenever you said I need,
I hope it's like, hey,
Xbox
don't tell
One X.
Oh God, no.
Christmas is ruined.
Parker.
No. Make a note of the time. Parker, why are you texting?
but I was trying to decide what I like better because I agree with you that Daredevil was great throughout, but I thought it kind of fell apart at the end a little bit with Wilson Fisk and the final fight and getting the armor and stuff like that. Whereas I feel the Punisher started slower, but the last four or five episodes of the Punisher, every time we watched like one episode a night, every time the episode would end, I would like punch the bed. I'm like, no!
Yeah.
I need to know what happens. Mm-hmm. And I'm so happy, by the way, so happy that finally I can have something of the Punisher and show people and go, yeah, see, he's great. Like, the movies were good, but they weren't great.
They were fun.
Yeah.
Like, the movies were
this
fun.
This was great.
This was legitimately well done. Like, I really, really liked it. It took a while to get into it, but, like, it was absolutely worth it. Like, I'm glad that I stuck with it, clearly.
I was worried Allie was going to be bored with it because, you know, we've had one of our highest rated episodes on the show was the discussion me, you, her, and Ethan had about the Punisher versus Batman.
Right.
And I know what a big Batman fan she is and how she disagrees with the Punisher's methods.
But it was mostly, honestly, I don't think I would like the comic book Punisher.
Hell, I don't even like the comic book Punisher much anymore.
Because it was very much the
vigilante.
Yeah, just gonna kill everyone that's done
random
something.
Muggers and
yeah. This was much more, these were the people that caused my family to die.
The ones that deserve it really bad.
These are the ones, and then they did this to me, and obviously they're gonna do it to other people because as long as it can keep them in power, they're gonna stay there.
And he also showed restraint.
Yeah.
Like the kid in the tunnel, the Army Reserve kid or whatever.
He's like, don't do this. I'm going to walk.
Yeah.
Madani, I'm going to walk down these stairs. You do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But I mean, like Frank Castle, even in the comic, he never murdered cops or He's got a code.
But he also, he just seems like he had a code that wasn't just involved with cops and military. That it was...
He killed any criminal he came across.
Yeah.
That's Frank.
And there are absolutely versions of comic book Punisher who would, I kill every criminal that comes across and anyone who tries to stop me from killing criminals.
I think what I love most about this Punisher was the fact that, because the Punisher character has always been, my family was murdered, mm-hmm. and now I'm looking for justice against people that hurt. But this Punisher was that, but also they spent a lot of time talking about like his PTSD, mm-hmm. his need to go to war, mm-hmm. you know, and that was a big thing in this show, was showing that these soldiers were so affected. I was surprised by how much time they spent showing like the lives of these soldiers coming back from war.
Yeah.
You don't expect that much time dedicated to it in the Marvel Netflix series, but like with Lewis and Curtis and the Circle and Frank and even Billy Russo, like it was got pretty in depth. Like it was very real.
I love that. I think probably my favorite scene, and the one that was really just like, God, was the dream he had where he was at Thanksgiving with his family and the Liebermans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just like, and then he realizes he's chained to the chair, and then like the special forces people just fill the room and no one's ignored, like no one else sees him. Just that one was,
I think,
rough.
That
wasn't my favorite scene, but it's just the thing that I loved.
I want to say my favorite scene was probably when he killed Rollins, just because it was so satisfying.
It was, but man, it was legit. That was legitimately hard to watch.
Well, the whole part was hard to watch, where he was beating Frank.
Oh yeah.
Like, you saw how vicious that guy was. Like, mm-hmm. he was a legitimate threat. He was hardcore. But in these shows, so often, the bad guy never gets their comeuppance. And the one thing about the Punisher is that he always gives the bad guy the comeuppance. In Daredevil, like Wilson Fisk, he got arrested. Yeah, he mm-hmm. was put in jail. I haven't watched the other series, so I can't attest to what happens to their villains.
Mm-hmm.
But look at like Steppenwolf in Justice League, zooms out of the sky. Loki in the Avengers constantly gets away.
Yeah.
Rollins did not get away.
No.
He got exactly what he deserved.
I also very much love the amount of times that it mentioned, like, he took my eye. Like, that came up multiple mm-hmm. times throughout the series. Because, yeah, he did. Like, he jacked up his eye because he beat him so badly. But, like, you know, I gave my eye for this country. He owes me an eye. And for that to be the final visual
mm-hmm.
of just, so gross.
The eye thing is always cringeworthy for me.
It's something I, like, I'm gonna have to get glasses soon. And it was like, oh, just get contacts. It's like, I can't do contacts. I cannot, like, deal with things being in or near my eye. I can't do it.
And that just seems like such an awful way to die.
Oh my God.
To have your eyeballs crushed with your, But again, this wasn't, and what I liked about it was this was not some street level criminal. This was not some, like the guys in the beginning, the assholes at the place.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, he didn't do that to them. He killed them.
Right.
But usually Frank Castle just put him down.
The
one guy.
The people that they stole the money from, like that, the poker game.
Yeah.
They got put down.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think he granted the same courtesy to the construction guys.
Yeah, but they also threw that guy in the,
oh yeah, no, the they mixer. Screwed up like, Donnie. Like, they messed up Donnie Stees.
But it seems like he saved his best punishment for the people that did the worst things.
Oh yeah.
Like, he didn't just grab a random guy and like torture him.
Right.
Even though he has done that in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
He needs information. There's a part in the comics, and they put it in the movie, where he has a guy tied up upside down, and he's like frying up food behind him where he can't see, and the guy smells the meat, and he puts a popsicle to him. And tells him that the heat is so cold, it feels like ice. And then the guy smells the meat and feels the ice on him and is freaking out because he thinks he's burning his fat off. It's a great scene. Anyway. I'm glad Rollins died. And Jigsaw also just got, so brutal.
I'm super excited for a second season. Like, but I kind of think they're not going to give us Jigsaw.
No, they'll hold off
on it. I think end of
season two, Jigsaw. Guaranteed.
And I'm not a patient man.
But there are other, like, there's not a lot of Punisher villains, but there are a bunch that they could do. They could do Barracuda.
Mm-hmm.
They could do Manucci. Like, there is a group of Tombstone. There's a group of bad guys, but everybody wants to see Jigsaw. I think they did a better job with Billy Russo into Jigsaw
mm-hmm.
than the Joker. Like, I've never seen Jigsaw in the show, so I don't know how he's going to be, but the transformation was so in-depth that whereas they tell you, well, Batman and Joker are mortal enemies, mm-hmm. and you kind of accept it because it's Batman and Joker, but I believe it with Jigsaw and the Punisher.
Honestly, like, it depends on how far back you're willing to go with Batman and Joker, because, like, it changes almost every run. Like, I, like, what they're doing with Joker, like, currently, and, like, what Scott Snyder did, especially the Scott Snyder run, where it's like, yes, because they have all of their, like, all of the Bat history has happened at this point. Like, they, he is his oldest and greatest villain, basically. And, you know, he turned into, no, like, you need me as much as I need you. And it is kind of believable. So, they did a great job in this of, you know, okay, this is, they have a prior relationship. Here is how this is all played out. This is the intense, as intense as it got, like the extremes that they have reached against each other. And now this is what Frank did to him. So like, I'm super stoked for this next chapter to see, yeah, the Jigsaw.
How Frank Jigsaw gets his revenge.
The Jigsaw Frank dynamic on the Jigsaw Punisher dynamic. Cause I loved the Billy Frank dynamic.
Yeah.
So to really kind of, I want to see that, so, that second half of the play.
Not to rehash our old argument of Punisher versus Batman, but let's rehash it for just a second. Cause I'm curious about what you guys think about this. The argument that we had, and I'll probably get a couple things wrong. You can correct me, but was that, you know, if Batman killed Joker, that's out of character for Batman. He would become what he is. The Punisher's a murderer, vigilante, all that. After seeing this version of the Punisher, and I feel like you guys kind of understand more of why he killed people. Like, it's not that he was just a staunch murderer of, I don't care who lives or dies. But knowing that, would you say Frank Castle in this version was an honorable man and not like a psychopath or anything like that?
I mean, he was presented as someone with a moral code and who didn't want to cause just
random pain
random
or whatever.
Violence. But it's like, but again, like the reason that this is my favorite version of the Punisher is because this is a very different version of the Punisher.
Yeah. He's like, he's more human. He's
yeah,
more
absolutely.
Real.
But when, cause you know, like comics Punisher has gone to some pretty gross extremes when it comes to not just criminals, but people in his way. So it's like,
and plus, I just want to say this real quick. The Punisher comic series, I feel like, so it got popular in I think the 80s and 90s because there was such a backlash against, you know, the establishment and people not getting justice and stuff like that. So people turned to this vigilante character who, like Batman, but would do what Batman wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't want to see people get locked up and get away and get out of jail constantly.
Right.
We wanted to see people die because they deserve to die.
Mm-hmm.
But Punisher now, like Micro feels with the character, I feel like the comic and the whole Punisher thing has just become a gore fest excuse for mad violence wrapped around what could be occasionally good stories. This Punisher was such a different version of that. It did have the gore and the violence, but it was wrapped around a good story about a man who was legitimately conflicted with life.
I will say too, like, when I'm talking about this, I am strictly speaking from episode 1 of Punisher to episode 13 of Punisher, because the Punisher we got in Daredevil season 2, we didn't really get that code of honor. Like, it was very much random criminals that he thought could or could not be connected to his family. Like, before he knew it was a government conspiracy, when he thought it was just a shootout gone, like, they were caught in the wrong place, wrong time between these three gangs.
He killed the people he thought, or he killed or interrogated the people he thought would be
either
responsible for it.
Or useful to finding the people responsible.
I think the only two times I can remember from the Daredevil season 2, and I'll get back to my question that I was going to ask in a second, but the only times where I remember him just killing someone was the ninjas at the end,
yeah,
which I still think is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, that's still... So, I know, Ali, you haven't seen Daredevil season 2, but
The hand...
The argument between Daredevil and the Punisher was Daredevil didn't kill people. It was Batman and Punisher, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Daredevil didn't kill people. Punisher did. He didn't see his way. But then in the end, Punisher shows up with a Gatling gun and just starts, or was it a sniper rifle? And just starts mowing down these ninjas that were fighting Daredevil. And Daredevil just thumbs up, like, thanks, Frank.
Yeah.
It didn't really make sense.
After making a huge deal of why he can't kill the hand because they are, you know, they're misguided.
Right. But there was also
the pawn shop guy.
But that dude had it coming.
I mean, yeah. Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. Like, I very much enjoyed that.
But that was a case where I feel like Batman would be better suited for it, because the dude is peddling child porn,
mm-hmm.
and that's a horrible thing. Did he deserve to be, even though we didn't see it, more than likely beaten to death with a baseball bat by Frank Castle? He probably could have gone to jail.
Well,
that guy could have been put in jail for the rest of his life.
And that's the thing, and it's the same thing with, like, you know, the good guy with a gun type deal. If you're in a gas station and a guy robs the gas station, is a bystander with a gun who shoots and kills that person, like, okay, you potentially have saved a life of the clerk and everybody else there, but is armed robbery punishable by death?
Right.
Because
like, would that person be eligible for the death penalty?
Exactly.
And so, and that's where, and that's like the big disconnect.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, it's that thing where, yes, that was satisfying to see, because if you're that kind of person, quite, again,
you should be,
it's, how many times have I said,
beaten to death?
How many times have I said, like, yes, Batman is my favorite hero. I love his, like, I like his code. I get not everybody's a fan, but I like his code. The failings of Arkham and the justice system are not on his shoulders. He's literally wrapping them in a bow.
Yeah.
Like, hey, make sure they never get out again. Uh-oh.
Oh, they got out?
You let them go?
Well, I got time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that said, when I'm Superman, there will be, it's Marshall, like, no.
You can take that scene.
Y'all had your run with, like, democracy and freedom.
Yeah.
It didn't pan out well. Oh, you're running child porn? Well, enjoy your free trip into the sun. that's how I'm gonna handle things. And does that make me a huge hypocrite? Probably.
There's a scene in Daredevil season 2 where Daredevil and the Punisher are on the roof talking, and Punisher tells him, you're a half measure, you know, and mm-hmm. like, that's a great scene, I thought. And you could have replaced Daredevil with Batman.
Right.
And that scene would have worked just as well. Anyway. Well,
it's like I've said before, like, the, minus the Dark Knight, and like, cause I love the entire Nolan trilogy, but like, Marvel's, Netflix's Daredevil is my favorite version of Batman.
Pretty much. That's why I keep telling Allie, I'm like, you should watch it. You will love it. It was so good. Season one is amazing.
Have you not seen season one?
I've started.
I tried to show them the episode here at the store.
I know.
She fell asleep on the couch. CJ fell asleep on the couch.
I'm not asking that as, like, I did not mean any judgment. Like, that wasn't like a, cause Dalton, like, yes, I judge Dalton for it because Dalton absolutely should have seen it by now. Dalton. But like,
I'm missing out on
something. It is a thing. Like, I really think that you would enjoy.
No. Daredevil. I know.
The first, like, season one is good, and I like a lot of season two of Daredevil, but the end really falls off the rails for me.
I think Hunter and all of us, most of us, said that if season two had just ended when Punisher went to jail, like, that would have been a great season. Punisher should have been the bad guy of that season.
Him in jail was pretty great too, though.
The fight scene. Yeah. That whole, all right. I don't want to spoil too much for her on that. But my question was, knowing that, I don't know, knowing you can be honorable and still murder people when they deserve it, at what point does Batman finally kill the Joker and say, no, I think there's a comic actually where he says, like, no more. No more people dead. Because the Joker is guaranteed to get out and kill innocent people. So at what point do you stop going, okay, for the 900th time that I put you in Arkham and you got out and killed 30 more people, maybe I should finally just put you down.
See, and that's what I think makes Batman such a good character. Is because you don't, cause how he acknowledges that all the time.
I remember the Under the Red Hood movie. He said it would be so damn easy.
Right. Like, and not even that, just like, he knows that and that weighs on him. We've seen that. Like, we have seen fallout of that exact thought process. It just is, he believes that, and depending, and it, again, it all depends on what story you're reading and where it comes from, but at his core, he believes that the Joker can get help. The Joker can be fixed. And if not fixed, he can be contained. Like, that's what Arkham is for. That's, like, they go through all these special measures that, yeah, they never work. But again, that's not Batman's fault.
It's
but
not.
But it's, he wants to believe that Batman knows that he's broken. Mm. Batman knows he's just as crazy as these people that he's fighting. The only difference is he knows that if he stops, people die. Innocent people will die. Like, he truly believes that he's helping the city. Or he's helping Gotham. And so when anytime he goes up against Mr. Freeze or Joker or Poison Ivy, he tries to, he never just goes in and starts swinging. He goes in talking. He tries to reason. He tries to make them see, like, no, this is not the way. You know, that I can help you. Let me help you is probably his catchphrase.
He's Dr. Phil. He's Dr. Bat.
And so, but that's why I like him so much. It's just because, like, yeah, because, like, that's why I was a criminal justice major. That's why I stuck with that major. That's why I wanted to be a parole officer for such a long time. Because, like, I genuinely wanted to believe that I can help these people.
That makes me sad because I wanted to be the Punisher.
Oh, don't get me, like, of course you have those, those, like, desires and those thoughts and, you know, you just, like, yeah, you know, you see certain people and you're just like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't be allowed to just, you know, walk around anymore. But
I know that they did two comics where Punisher and Batman crossed over. And in one, Jigsaw and Joker teamed up. And, like, I've never read them. And when you talk about Batman mm-hmm. and I talk about Punisher, that just seems like that should be one of the greatest comics of all time. If you put Batman and Punisher against each other.
I was going to say against each other. Yeah. That's not them working together. No, to do, like,
against each other with their philosophies. Just hearing them talk.
That, it's,
like, that seems like that would be just one of the most amazing scenes you would ever see.
You've read the Civil War interactions between Frank Castle and Captain America, haven't you?
Yeah, like after Castle blows away the two guys and America just beats the crap out of them.
Yeah, well, there's
for
the,
killing.
I think it's been a long time since I've read Civil War, so you might be right, but I think those are like separate instances, like they're spaced apart.
Probably
because yeah, like Punisher joins Cap's side of the Civil War, sees two villains,
and kills them,
and just immediately is like, they were murderers.
Yeah, they're like, murderers. They'll always be murderers.
Yeah, and Cap doesn't have that, but I think it's a little bit later where Captain America spends like 8 pages just uncomfortably beating the piss out of Frank.
And he won't fight back.
And Frank will not fight back. He just will, and he's like, you know, he's begging him, fight back. No, not against you, sir. Because he just has such, like, for whatever reason,
Captain America so
he has,
much.
Like, Captain America is, like, his idol.
Well, because he, I mean, soldier.
Well, and
you know,
I don't mean, like, for whatever reason, yeah. Like, oh, Captain America doesn't deserve it, or, you know, like, oh, yeah. I get the military connections there, too.
It's amazing to me, when I was growing up, how bored I was of the super American heroes, mm-hmm. like Superman and Captain America were my two least favorite heroes because I thought they were so boring. Oh my God, pro America. Good
I
for you.
A real American.
the movies have made Captain right America so appealing to me. And this is how I want to explain
that. I was actually going to say, is that where that was going? Like you hated the super over the top, you know, pro America heroes, but then you loved Hulk Hogan still?
No, I'm sorry. I do not love Hulk Hogan
then,
still.
Then I, well, no, th- I,
but then,
like,
then,
yeah,
yes.
Because it's like, oh, Superman, Captain America, those guys are lame. Yay, Hulk.
Well, I mean,
that's the only reason I started.
Captain America even wore red, white, and blue, you know? Hogan wore yellow, at least.
That was the only reason I started doing that. Because I thought that's where you were going.
No. I was actually going to tie it.
Seem like a dick.
I was going to tie it into Justice League. Because I didn't get to talk about Justice League with you guys, so I just want
to
mention.
I also didn't get to talk about Justice League with those guys. I had to go to work.
I absolutely love Superman in Justice League, and it surprised me because I have never liked Superman. I've tolerated him, like the Brandon Routh movie. I thought he was okay. Like I didn't hate Superman. Batman v Superman. I still like that movie. I still like it, and I thought he was okay. But he was so grim, and he was
same with Man of Steel. Like Man of Steel and Batman v Superman.
He was just so grim and unlikable. But in this movie, everyone's like, oh, we got the Boy Scout version. Kind of. You got my favorite version of Superman, which is when he is not all good. When he comes back from the dead, and he gets that look in his eye, I felt like Aquaman. I was like, oh, shit. And he just mercilessly beat all of them.
I loved the scene where Flash is like running at him. Yes. And then you first see the eye move. And then you see Flash realize it. And then he turns his head. Like that was amazing. I loved that part because that's all Flash can do.
Yeah.
And he can do this too.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of that scene in general, but that's a whole other thing. The two things that I wanted to talk to you about with Justice League just real quick is one, this is Justice League should have been where the DC extended universe, whatever they want to call it, the movies, should have started. Like, yeah, there's the argument to be made of, no, they should have done the individual movies, all of them. And then
brought them together.
And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about timeline-wise. I'm just talking with the feel of all of the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Batman, it was right on.
Batman wasn't killing people. Superman is smiling.
Yeah.
And has actual, like, you can see the blue and yellow and red are bright and pop out and, like, you get that, and like, that's where we needed to start.
Yeah.
Man of Steel and Batman v Superman and super dark and gritty, like, doesn't work for Superman. It just doesn't.
The only thing of, I still like that movie. I don't know why.
And just real quick too.
Yeah,
like,
go ahead.
I don't think we got it in the movie or if it was like a deleted scene or something that I read about, but like, Batman trying to sacrifice himself because of all of the people that he had killed and realized like, yeah, no, my hatred for him and my hatred of them doesn't justify what I did. So like, this is a Batman who, yeah, has crossed the line, but wants to go back and is like actively trying to be, that is.
And because of Superman.
It doesn't forgive. See, and that kind of ties into my second point. That doesn't forgive how they treated him in Batman v Superman for me personally. But at least, like, okay, you're acknowledging it, and you're also acknowledging that you're moving away from it.
Yeah.
At breakneck speed as fast as possible.
Yeah.
And you saying because of Superman. So the whole point of Superman is he gives hope to humanity.
Yeah.
He is what we as a race, as a species aspire to be. Superman dies, the world goes to shit.
Yeah.
Quickly. Like,
hope's gone.
Hope is totally gone. Like, to me, I hated that because that kind of underwrote the entire point of Superman. Superman isn't a beacon of hope. Like, he isn't what we aspire to be. He's all we have. Without him, look what happens.
Well, see.
And like, to me, like, and maybe it's just the way, like, the movie hit me because, like, and there's, they could have fixed it with changing one thing in one scene. When the police are dragging the skinhead away from the woman's shop, if that would have been just two citizens, two random people, like, hey, standing up for this person they don't know, like, hey, this isn't cool, you can't do this, we're going to step in and do what's right here. That would have been the message, like, okay, Superman had an impact. People are trying to do better because he's gone, and now it's all up to us. Now humanity is all humanity has. We have to step up and we have to be better. Instead, we got, oh, well, Superman's gone.
See,
screw it, I guess.
All right, I'm going to try to say this as articulate as possible and, like, actually make sense. If I don't and I trail, I'm sorry.
Well, and again, like, that, like, I don't think that was the message the movie was trying to convey. That's how it hit me, and I was like, don't like that.
The way I took this was basically, and this is a long rant, it's going to tie together. The way I took that particular thing was 9/11. When 9/11 happened, we all came together as this great nation, and once it died down, we all turned against each other. We were pieces of garbage. I think what the movie was saying was Superman was a beacon of hope, but when he died, people just kind of realize it's humanity. It's a real humanity, not, oh, we're going to aspire to be great because of Superman. It's more of a, oh, Superman died. The guy that was a god basically is dead. Like, what hope is there?
Mm-hmm.
And how that ties together for me and why I kind of like Batman v Superman more now is because of Batman, because of the way he reacted to it, knowing that he was feeling that he was responsible for Superman's death and then going so far as to bring him back to life, knowing what it could mean because he felt so guilty about it. Like, yeah, it was to save the world, but I think the guilt over what had happened was eating at him so much that when Superman came back and he just kind of walked out and was like Clark, like, he knew what would happen. He knew he couldn't beat Superman.
Right.
But he was so guilty about it, and that
he was just going to let him die.
Yeah.
Like, or he was going to let himself be killed. Yeah.
Because he, like he said, and it was a cut scene, which I hate because it was such a good line. I think it was cut, but where he said, the world needs Superman and the team needs Clark because Superman was more human, like he said, than Batman ever was. Batman took to the shadows. He got away from the world. He hated being human because of how terrible humanity was. Whereas Superman wasn't human and embraced it so much that he was the shining beacon of hope, whereas Batman was the creature in the darkness that instills fear in people. Mm-hmm. And I think he was so jealous of Superman's positivity and the hope that he inspired that he wanted to bring that back at any cost. The scene that I probably love most in the movie was when the roles were reversed and Batman was the one going, the world needs you, the world needs hope, and Superman is the one grabbing him and saying, what was the line?
Do you bleed?
No, before that, okay. My favorite line was, you didn't want me alive. You wouldn't let me die.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a good line because it's absolutely true. You didn't want me here. Now you don't want me to be in peace. What do you want from me?
The only problem I have with that argument is if we would have gotten Man of Steel and Batman v Superman and it was the end of Justice League Superman in both of those roles, I would 100% agree with you. But Superman was not a bright and positive figure. He was just like, people were just scared of him and he was doing good things.
And you're absolutely right. And that's what kills me. If they had written Superman better in those first two movies, how much more of an impact this was. It's like this movie was almost not a retcon, but like they went, okay,
we get it now.
We get it now. Like, I didn't understand Superman before and Batman, but now I kind
of
do.
I wonder how much of that was Zack Snyder and how much of that was Joss Whedon.
That's true.
Because a lot of the movie was done with Snyder, but then Whedon came in and kind of finished it because of the tragedy that happened at Snyder. I think the reason, and I just realized that the reason that I like Justice League so much more than Batman v Superman is both movies were full of moments. I'm like, why are you doing that? Justice League bothered to answer those questions. Like, okay, so Wonder Woman can do basically everything Superman can. Why isn't she the beacon of hope for humanity? Oh, they answer that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean Aquaman knows what's happening and he's turning away Batman? He's the, like, what? Why? What? There's no reason. Oh, they answer that? Oh, okay. They cared about the characters, it felt like, way more. Yeah. And maybe it was because they had to establish them in such a short frame of time.
But they reestablished them so much better than they established them.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part.
Because, like,
the Batman in this movie is probably, I said Ben Affleck was my favorite Batman in Batman v Superman, mm-hmm. and he's still my favorite Batman, but this is my favorite, he was my favorite actor as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite Batman.
Yeah.
The Batman in Batman, or in Justice League, he was everything I've always thought of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
He's not superhuman. He doesn't have an answer for everything. He's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And this movie, I thought, showed that way more than others. He didn't have a parademon repellent that he used suddenly against these guys. Like you guys said, he kind of got his ass kicked. Mm-hmm. Well, of course he did. He's human.
Something's bleeding.
Yeah. He should get his ass kicked by parademons.
Yeah.
But he didn't just like lay there and Superman saved him. He was creative. He was smart. He got his weapons. He got his, like, it made so much sense. And then in the final part, when Superman showed up to fight Steppenwolf, I knew what it was going to be.
Right.
And I thought, okay, here's what's going to happen. Superman's going to kick his ass, but then something's going to happen and Superman gets taken out of the fight. But that didn't happen. Superman just kicked his ass.
Superman shows up, kicks his ass, goes, rescues a building, comes back and kicks his ass some more.
And that is Superman.
And so I know this is just a personal gripe that, cause I'm not a fan of the Superman character. But, like, you do all of this work trying to establish, like, Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and, like, you're establishing them, and it's like, oh, but don't worry, the real hero's here.
It felt like that.
You tried, but here, so it's why I don't like the Green Ranger.
It felt like that in Injustice, too, though. Like, remember Injustice, the first game, when you fight Superman, it was like, thank God, there's Superman.
Our Superman's here, now the day is saved.
But at the same time, I thought Justice League really established that Superman by himself is super powerful. But Batman v Superman established that he can be weakened.
Mm-hmm.
What you guys said is absolutely true. The only reason Superman is so good is because he has those abilities that just come from the sun.
Right.
But you take away that stuff and he's nothing. And as a team, they all work together to form a Justice League. Like, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the Avengers, where the Avengers, it just felt like, here's all of our good heroes. We're going to throw them together and fight this evil. And I remember going like, okay, I get Thor and Hulk and stuff, but like, Hawkeye is really good with a bow, even though I like the character. You're fighting these, what were they, the Kroll or the Kree, what were they called in the first movie?
No, the Chitauri.
Chitauri. You're fighting the Chitauri, who are these like super alien things, mm-hmm. and like him and Black Widow, I'm glad they're there.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, I felt like everyone in the Justice League had a role that if you took one of them out of it, it wouldn't be the same. I really love the dynamic.
Because Superman still needs other people there so he can go save the building of people.
Well, not only that, but Superman needs them because I think one of the things that I maybe I'm reading this wrong was that Superman was lonely. That's one of the I think things that they don't really establish so much in the comics even, or in the old days anyway, because Superman was such a god and so powerful. Everybody liked Clark and he was mm-hmm. popular. But you have to feel that being that way, there has to be a loneliness to it.
Yeah.
But now he has people who know who he is for real and still kind of like him. And I feel like he needs them on a personal level as much as they need him as Superman.
I can see that.
Yeah.
You said Clark and it reminded me the biggest problem I think I had with the movie was Clark Kent's dead. They buried him.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Mistaken identity.
Also, I know the joke has been made a million times from every single person who has seen the movie, but as soon as Superman like started charging at Batman, did you not think he was just going to be like, Martha?
What'd you say? Martha.
Why'd you say that name?
Martha.
Why'd you say that name?
Martha? I love that fight with him in the Justice League because the hardest part of the hardest part of establishing a Punisher villain is the fact that he kills them all.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest part of establishing Superman is like, who else? You don't need anyone else if you have Superman.
It's the bad man skit from College Humor.
Yeah.
I want to team up. Why? That's stupid. You're Superman. I didn't like the fight because either he remembers who he is, but he wouldn't just be fighting these people because he understands, like, oh, he knows Wonder Woman. Like, he
briefly met her.
Or
but he hates Batman.
Or
I think.
He doesn't know who he is, And like, but then he, but so he it makes sense that, oh, I'm under attack. I need to go. But he remembers enough to know, oh, I hate this dude.
To make that comment to Batman.
Well, right. I think.
Not only to be like, oh, I have a general, I have a general feeling of hatred to you. I'm going to quote you as I'm whooping your ass.
I think my headcanon was that when he first came out, he didn't know where he was. It's like he was disoriented.
Right.
And it wasn't until he saw Batman mm-hmm. that he remembered what happened. Mm-hmm. And then, either he was so pissed that Batman caused this.
And that's fair.
Or maybe that I'm going to take a quote from like the Buffy universe, when she died and they brought her back and she was like, why did you bring me back? I was at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that was what Superman was like. I didn't belong on Earth.
Right.
I didn't have a home. I was at peace. You did this to me again.
Right.
And that was the quote.
And that's the line. Yeah.
So I loved it. If you did,
I mean, no, it makes.
And I'm happy to say I can recommend a DC movie. I recommend Justice League because goddamn, Suicide was terrible.
That was
just an awful movie. Anyway, we're out of time.
Yeah,
I don't now want to do a Justice League show. Anyway,
we just kind of did.
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. We'll be back.
That was my favorite version of Aquaman too.
Yeah.
I asked you guys before I went to go see the movie. Did they finally make Aquaman cool? And you guys were like, yes. And I agree.
Well, I mean. They kind of had to with who they cast.
It's Jason Momoa, which I know we've talked about it before. You guys talked about it on the Thursday show a couple weeks ago. Who's looking at Jason Momoa as Aquaman and thinking, yes, Blake Shelton is the sexiest man alive?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Oh, God, all those muscles. Did you see them?
There were so many
of them.
There
were so many muscles.
And he was wet so much at the time.
He was. And I think I said this as a half joke, but the more I thought about it, the more I kind of think that I really do think Flash might have been like on the spectrum of autism.
Oh no, he absolutely was.
Legitimately.
Like, no.
But he's very much like, he's like hardly on it.
But
in all honesty.
Well, he straight up says like, well, you know, humanity has a rhythm and I can't land it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing they did with the Blue Ranger.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we need a character who's quirky and neurotic. Let's put him on the spectrum. And it's like, and I loved The Flash. Like, I thought he had the only time I actually laughed out loud in the movie theater.
Which part?
When they're digging the grave and he goes for the fist bump. And he's like, oh, racially charged.
Because
it came out of nowhere. And he's just like, what? Like, it was just that shock. But yeah, it's like, man, that's a trope that they're walking the line of like, I'm not a huge fan of
exploitation.
Are we the dicks for saying, oh, well, he's on the spectrum? Because we don't know that.
Said it. They said it in Power Rangers.
That's true. The whole, I can't get the rhythm of talking to people is a very kind of like a, that's a thing that's a note that's being taken in an evaluation.
Autism is very much it's how they react socially.
Yeah.
There's other things, but it's very much a social problem that they have trouble with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're the dicks for being like, I have a feeling he's on the spectrum because
everything we see him do is
well that, and it's also that's what people that work in the field
mm-hmm.
of working with kids with autism or diagnosing they do.
Mm-hmm.
They used to show Big Bang Theory at conferences and be like, "So who thinks Sheldon's on the spectrum?"
Oh, really?
Well, you know, it reminds me of he kind of reminded me of Ethan, you know, from our show, who has said multiple times that he's been diagnosed as being on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And his personality very much reminded me of Ethan. And that's the first thing that popped in my head is I thought of Ethan. And I was like, you know, just that kind of socially awkward, but funny. I mean, perfectly normal, but just
right.
kind of awkward in a way.
Yeah.
And I really like if that's, I thought it was an interesting spin on the character.
I think
all the characters were great. A Cyborg. Love Cyborg.
Didn't think my point that I was about to say.
With Cyborg?
No, with the Flash.
Oh, go ahead. Then we'll talk about Cyborg really
like,
quick.
Like, with Power Rangers still, I think it shows a part of diversity in a team like this that used to not, assuming Cyborg too, with a different, like, background than almost everyone else. They all have different backgrounds, and for a long time it was seen as, we all have to be the same for us to work well together. And now we're very much learning in society that no, if you're diverse, you're going to work so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to get so much more done. And so I think movies, they're using autism a lot because that was a thing that was honestly picked at a lot.
It's a new hot button issue. Yeah.
And,
Before we go, I'll say the thing I disliked the most about the movie, other than Steppenwolf, because I just, again, I didn't think
his motivation was pretty weak.
It was murky.
Yeah.
But we might get, you know, like I feel now about Batman v Superman and some of the stuff I saw in that, I feel differently about now that I've seen Justice League. Maybe I'll feel different when I see eventually of Darkseid. Maybe he'll explain more or something. I don't know. I get that Gal Gadot is very attractive. I get it. I still hate how they have to put something in these movies where at least one character references how attractive they are. The part where, like, I think it was Aquaman was talking about, oh, you're really hot. Like, and she had he was sitting on the lasso.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It was funny. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I get Gal Gadot was attractive.
Right.
Like, just one movie where they don't bring up how hot the one female character is.
And I mean, to be fair.
Because one looked at Jason Momoa's character and said, whew, you're hot. I like the muscles, boy.
They should have.
They should have.
That would have been like.
They should have.
It should have been. Hey, Wonder Woman accidentally sits on it.
No, it was not even that. Not even that at all. Bruce Wayne, when he goes to talk to, like, I hear you have a traveler. Oh, hi. How you doing?
He just looks over everybody and then points at Jason Momoa. Is it him?
I mean.
Because he's the one that doesn't look like any of you.
Even if it's not you, like.
Can we just.
You want to hang out? What are you doing? You look.
Do you like mimosas?
You like handy?
To be fair, I mean, in the new Ghostbusters movie, that's what they did to Kevin.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, because they turned that. That's a trope that they kind of flipped on it.
And I still loved it. But they did it way over the top in Ghostbusters, where he was brain dead almost. That's fine. Anyway, we got to get out of here. We're going to be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We actually have a lot of news to talk about.
Just a spoiler alert for you guys. I'm on my second page of notes.
Oh,
there's a lot of stuff that.
Thank God we're not doing CCW Live.
Are we not? Have we confirmed that?
Yeah, we have one more show, and that's going to be the award show. What else is there to talk about?
Oh, I thought we were going to do a nominations show and then do the. Which we can skip.
I mean,
no, okay, so we skip tomorrow night so we can work on the nominations and talk to Jason and Barry and
we'll create the chat.
And get everybody,
Okay, so we'll do that. We'll keep you guys updated. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on PWU. You have a great night. And if you haven't, watch The Punisher because it's amazing. And go see Justice League because it's really good. All right. Have a good night, guys.